Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another Sunday service from our home to your home. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Right? I don't know if we're going to be doing too much barbecuing today, but happy Father's Day anyway. And thank you again for all of the wonderful donations you've been sending to support us during these very challenging times. We surely appreciate it. And also, we want to say thank you to all of the wonderful volunteers who've been doing work in the background at their individual homes to help us get this service up on YouTube and all the other things that needed to continue to serve you. So we're going to start this meeting today with Pamela.
Okay. Good morning, and welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Let's affirm the mission and the foundation statements, and we'll start out with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm the foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading. Daily word reading for Sunday, June 21st. The key word is Father's blessing. And the affirmation is, I give thanks for all expressions of fatherly love. My relationship with my father may have been positive and nurturing, or difficult and challenging. He may have been a strong presence during my childhood, or he may have been absent. We may be part of each other's lives today. We may be estranged, or he may have passed from this earthly life. Whatever our circumstances, I bless my father and I see him enfolded in divine love. As I honor my father, I also honor all the father figures who have helped guide me along my path. Family members, teachers, neighbors, clergy, employers, and friends. I bless them as I recall all the ways each one, in a unique way, has modeled strength, guidance, wisdom, and patience. Their presence remains with me thanks to their gifts of fatherly love. And the scripture is Proverbs 4:11. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. We bless this scripture reading.
Thank you. So, we are continuing with this journey of expanding our consciousness through prayer. And, during these particular times, this is probably one of the most powerful series we can go through to help us to understand how to tap into our own indwelling Christ spirit to know what is ours to do during these times. I know in this past week, Pamela and I both have been in several Zoom sessions on the topic of racism in America. Believe it or not, the largest one we sat in had 6,500 people in it. And the people who were running it were saying, with that number of people, that's the biggest number they've ever had. And it says to them that this is a topic that people really want to know a lot about. I really didn't even know that Zoom could have that many people in a meeting at a time. A few of us were in the first Zoom session of the class that's in Unity on the River in Amesbury, Massachusetts, on the book How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram Kendi. And one of the things I learned from that class that I really appreciated is that we all must pick the road we must travel in this movement towards anti-racism. And Reverend Ogun Holder, he phrased it as choosing a lane, which I think came from the book How to Be an Anti-Racist. And just one definition of anti-racism is it's an active way of seeing and being in the world in order to transform it. That's just one particular definition, but I like that because for me, this speaks to the lane that I have chosen, which is doing and teaching the spiritual work required to shift one's consciousness from the constructs of the ego mind, which quite often can't, help itself because it cannot see itself, and making that transformation to the spiritual wisdom that comes from the intense practice of living life prayerfully. And notice I said the intense practice of living life prayerfully. So some of the things we're going to cover in this particular talk might sound challenging from a point of view of thinking that I'm already there. But hopefully, as we go through this process, you'll see that there's so much more that we can expand into in terms of living a prayerful life. So to live life prayerfully is to be fully conscious of what you think, speak, and do, and whether or not it is in sync with the spiritual principles you're studying. So it is to remember that you are always standing on holy ground, okay? Holy ground being your own consciousness. So when Moses saw the burning bush and heard God say, take off the shoes from your feet for you're standing on holy ground. Take off the shoes from your feet was meaning take off your man-made thinking because you're standing on holy ground. However, it's difficult, maybe even impossible, to be fully conscious that you're standing on holy ground if you're trapped within the biased constructs of your ego mind. And again, Jesus, you know, expressed it in John 8, 31 to 32. He said, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So that's what we're looking for, is how do I free myself from these constructs that have me thinking in a certain way? And we're going to look at it a little bit more later. So to continue on this journey towards expanding consciousness through prayer, which is a lane that I have chosen and have been on for a very long time, we're continuing to work with the idea that the most effective method for expanding our consciousness is prayer. So the subtitle of this lesson is, Prayer is the Way to Every Way. So we'll talk more about that, but basically what it's saying is no matter which way you're trying to go, what you're trying to do, prayer is the way to every way. So no matter, you know, how you feel, what you think you need to do, you're saying to yourself, I want to be part of this social unrest somehow. I want to do my part, you know, in this social unrest. Well, you have to choose your lane, okay? And I like that idea. And also, when you choose your lane, saying, this is the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to march. I'm going to contribute. I'm going to do whatever. Don't try to pull people into your lane. Let people find their own lane, okay? So, but you know, figure out what your way is in terms of how you want to be part of this. But just remember again that as you're trying to figure out how you want to be part of this social change that's going on, prayer is the way to every way, okay? So our goal in these lessons has been to gain a better understanding of prayer, you know, and to ask yourself, you know, what is prayer really? Well, first of all, there's no one answer to this question. However, even though the description and methods may vary, there is an intention in prayer that the mystics strive for that we need to eventually understand. And I've probably said that every time I've done this in the last four talks that I've done on this subject. So to refresh our understanding of prayer, according to the revealing word, prayer is the most highly accelerated mind action known. So the practice of prayer steps up the mental action of our mind until our consciousness synchronizes with Christ's mind. So prayer is the language of spirituality. So when you think about talking with God, prayer is a language of spirituality. And actually the language that God speaks, so to speak, basically is silence. Okay. So our consciousness expands as our understanding of prayer increases our connection to the divine. So as we mature in age, experience, and understanding, so must our method of prayer mature as well. Now, Paul described a progression of our consciousness in his relationship to the maturing of our prayers in his words recorded in 1 Corinthians 13:11. He said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish ways. So when little Jimmy, 7 years old, was asked, what is prayer? He answered, so that we should have food and water and other good stuff. All right. Prayer, he said, prayer is what you do to ask God for stuff. All right. Now, as Matthew Fox expressed in his book, Prayer, a Radical Response to Life, a child lives in a world of petition. I want, I need, I desire, you give. this petitioning process is at the heart of a child's existence. Indeed, a child, by definition, is a dependent person. Cause and effect to the child are in terms of request and answer. But the child's world is not his for long. He soon grows out of depending on others and accepts his own capacity to accept his world. The child's prayer, a petition, cannot be the foundation of adult prayer. Okay. Now, the Bible uses the concepts of child and adult a lot, and you're going to see how we get into that a little bit later. But basically, I don't know if you remember when Jesus was talking to Peter and he was telling him something. He said, feed my lambs. He was talking about those who are not very well versed in spiritual ideas, as opposed to feed my sheep, who are more grown and mature in understanding of spiritual ideas. So this child-adult idea is looking at basically where you are in your understanding of, spiritual concepts and how to live them. So for many of us in our relationship with God, cause and effect are still measured in terms of request and answer. We pray, wanting to God to move into action to bring about the answer to our requests. And nothing is wrong with this if you are, not looking to elevate your prayer consciousness. If that's where you feel you are and that's how you want to pray, we're not saying there's anything wrong with this. The interesting thing to note, however, is oftentimes this petitioning method of prayer does work, especially when there's an extremely high level of emotional energy poured into the thing that's being prayed for. So we pray for something specific to happen, and in a specific, in a specific area of our lives, and presto, it happens, and we're elated, praising God for answering our prayer. And yes, this is a good thing, but the mere act of praying, then wondering if something is going to happen, is a clear indication that the one praying is still believes that he or she is separate from the source, separate from God, not realizing that the loving universe knows what you need even before you ask. So it's sort of an idea of asking, knowing. That's what we're trying to get into. Not asking, wondering, hoping, whatever, but asking, knowing. So in the scientific work described in the book Power Versus Force, there's a higher level of consciousness where the individuals have evolved beyond the need of knowing that everything they need is, they've gotten to the place, in other words, where they know that everything they need has already been provided. All right, so they're praying from that consciousness that the Father knows what you want even before you ask. That's what I was trying to get to, okay? So that's a higher level of consciousness. They know they pray, they know that it's already given to them. So in a way, you got to look at the fact that religion itself may have kept us as spiritual children when it comes to understanding the deeper concepts of the spiritual life. Why? Because it's so much easier to believe that someone or something outside of us is going to save us and uplift us than it is to know that we already have the power within us to save and uplift ourselves. Okay, and I don't want to go into the whole story now, but I think I remember telling you I was taking a graduate Bible class, and they brought in a bishop who was a Bible scholar, and he said 500 years ago, the church realized that people didn't want to know the truth. They didn't want to be responsible. So that's why sort of religion has kept us almost like children, and that we have to petition God for the things that we want. And as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 3:2, many of us are just not ready to accept higher level spiritual principles. He said, so brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as a spiritually mature people. So I feed you with milk, not solid food, for you're not ready for solid food. Okay, so again, that's what he's saying. He's going, I can't give you the deeper principles that you really need to hear. And Jesus, we know the same thing in Jesus happened to the disciples, where, he's speaking to the crowd, and when the crowd goes away, the disciples go into the house with him, and they said, Master, could you explain to us what you were explaining to them? And he's saying, but you should already know this. He says, how long do I have to be with you that you to take you to understand what it is I'm trying to teach you? So a lot of what we're getting is not solid food. It's not the deeper spiritual stuff, okay? So that the question we must ask ourselves is, am I ready for solid food? Am I ready for the really deeper principles that's going to take me to a whole nother level of consciousness? And in Hebrews 5:12, Paul explains further, there is so much more I would like to say, but you don't seem to listen, so it's hard to make you understand. You are like babies who drink only milk and cannot eat solid food. And a person who's living on milk isn't very far along the Christian life and doesn't know much about doing what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, now listen carefully, who have trained themselves and practiced to recognize the difference between right and wrong, and then do always that which is right. So, you know, looking at that in the book, Sins of the Fathers by Pope Hennessy, there's an example of the Englishman, John Newton, who packed suffering human beings chained to one another into the hull of his ship. And then he retired to his comfortable cabin to read his Bible and say his prayers. Now, we can easily say that, you know, see the wrong in this and condemn him for his actions. However, the reason it may be so easy to see the faults in others is because it relieves us of examining the nature of our own consciousness and how our own prejudices impact the judgments that we make. We also will be, you know, we'll worship and pray. You know, we will. We'll worship and pray and still think and do things that are unloving, unkind, unforgiving, and extremely judgmental towards others. So remember, Jesus spoke very specifically to this in Matthew 5:23-24 when he said, when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister and then come and offer your gift. Again, a Bible verse we all know very well, but it really speaks to a lot of what we might see unfolding in our own lives. Okay, so Jesus is telling us we cannot have a true relationship with God, with the God of love, while at the same time holding unloving, unforgiving thoughts and emotions. And from the perspective of what is occurring in this country today, we may actually be better off, listen carefully, being consciously aware that right now we choose the reactions of our ego over the guidance of spirit, because it is better to make choices consciously than to make them unconsciously. Being conscious of your choices is at least a first step towards becoming ready to live the prayerful life when you are ready. An unconscious person isn't typically aware of the spiritual consequences of his or her choices. So what I'm saying is that even if you say, well, you know, I've got a lot of emotion around what's going on now, and we all do, okay? We all have a lot of emotion and a lot of feelings about what's going on now, both with COVID and, you know, what's happening in terms of racism. So we have a lot of energy. So what we're saying here is that because you know the two roads that you could take, if you consciously choose to let your, with your feelings of your ego, just totally be involved in that, at least you know you're choosing that, because then when you have sort of gotten through that, then you can make, you know, the other choice you can go to, because you're conscious. An unconscious person can't make those choices, if you get what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. Even if you make the choice to follow your emotions and how you're feeling, you are still a little bit ahead of the game, because you know in your mind, I'm making this choice, okay? We'll often choose a diet of milk, you know, following the ego, instead of solid spiritual food, because it allows us to compartmentalize our prayers and separate them in from the loving, unloving, unforgiving thoughts that we still want to hold on to. So, you know, but again, I say that's okay, because at least we are still aware of the choices we're making. However, it's important to remember that lower levels of consciousness prefer a diet of milk, ego thought, because it is easy to consume, and because a diet of solid spiritual food may be just too difficult to even consider right now. Okay, but at least I want us to be at a space where we know milk here, I might choose that. Deeper spiritual food here, I have the ability to choose that. At least you can see the choices. That's the beginning of awakening, if that makes sense to you. Okay, so Paul emphasized that solid food is for those who are spiritually mature, and listen, who have trained themselves and practice to recognize the difference between love and fear, so that they are capable of consistently choosing love over fear. But that idea of seriously practicing is the process, okay? So many of you know that Martin Luther King expressed, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. But to be able to even begin to comprehend what this great mystic is saying requires much prayer and contemplation to raise our level of consciousness to his. Okay? And you notice I called him a mystic because a lot of things that he said were, they were mind expanding. Okay? But lower level minds love to quote the words of the higher level mystics, but do not have the spiritual maturity to fully and truly live those words. So we'll go around and we'll talk about it. Yeah, Martin Luther King said this, Martin Luther King said that. But we got to understand, we're quoting a mystic who's operating at a level of consciousness that may be way above what we can even understand, especially if we can't perceive ourselves doing that or following that which he gave us to follow. Anyway, and so why is this? It's because, as is explained in Revealing Word, solid food is symbolic of the deeper truths that require much study, meditation, prayer, and concentration in order that they may be appropriated and assimilated by our mind. It says that spiritual food is the word of God we receive when we pray, opening our hearts and minds to receive the guidance of spirit as to what is ours to do and what is ours to give, okay? Jesus counseled us against choosing milk over solid food. You'll find it in John 6:27 when he said, "Do not labor for the food which persists, which perishes. No, rather strive for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him has God the Father sent his seal of approval." So Jesus is saying, don't drink the milk, right? Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't drink the milk, right? He's saying always go for the deeper spiritual ideas, okay? And so often we struggle for clarity. Often, you know, asking ourselves is what I'm thinking and what am I doing, you know, what I'm doing. This God's will or my will? You know, we're always kind of wondering in that. Now, in an episode of Deep Space Nine, Odo, and I don't know how many people watch Deep Space Nine, remember Odo, he was a shapeshifter. Okay, which means on his planet, everybody existed as one ocean. There was no individuals, just one ocean. But each consciousness could raise up from that ocean and take on any shape that it wanted because they were shapeshifters. So Odo, he's having a conversation with another shapeshifter, and he exclaimed that to resolve his dilemma, all he needed was peace, to which the female that he was talking to said, "No, Odo, what you need is clarity," okay? So clarity is clearness of thought in mind, heart, and spirit. It is what we strive for in prayer and meditation. However, the block to clarity lies in the fact that our most basic mechanisms for evaluating our lives are the faculties of thought, feeling, and emotion we use to justify why we think, feel, and act the way we do, okay? Again, in the book Power versus Force, the author says, man's two basic types of operational faculties, reason and feeling, are both inherently unreliable. Although we ascribe our actions to reason, we in fact operate primarily out of our pattern recognition, the logical arrangement of data in our mind, which serves mainly to enhance a pattern recognition system that becomes our truth. So it's also what they were saying about the idea of unconscious bias is that we have this pattern of thinking in our mind, and because it's a pattern, a lot of times we don't even think about it. This is just how we are. This is how we respond. In a lot of the workshops we were, the Zoom sessions we were looking at, folks were saying that there were things that they've been doing that they didn't even realize that they were doing that, okay, until it was brought to their attention. So that pattern recognition system is what has become our truth, and it's difficult for us to operate outside of it, okay? So the key to escape the grip of the pattern recognition system we have established in our consciousness is to realize that the way we react to life is based on a pattern, an arrangement of data that we constructed in our minds from our reactions, you know, to what we've experienced in our lives as far back as childhood, okay? So I think it is time to quote Paul again, who said, 1 Corinthians 13:11, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish ways." This is a very difficult verse to accept for those of us who, from all accounts and purposes, feel we're already adults, okay? But remember, Paul said, solid food is for those who are mature, who have trained themselves and practiced to recognize the difference between love and fear, and then can consciously choose love. That training, that dedication to the process is what's important here. So the question to ask yourself is, how diligently have I been training and practicing through prayer to be able to recognize the difference between love and fear? Do I consistently choose love, or do I consistently choose fear? So a bit more solid food from Martin Luther King. He declared, "I've decided to stick with love because hate is too great a burden to bear." Okay? And again, that is coming from the mind of a highly advanced mystic. And as Jesus has expressed in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give you, that you shall love one another just as I have loved you." So these two very challenging statements are things that we need, you know, and you try to understand how to get to. How do I get myself there? And sometimes you think that, you know, prayer is not a lot of work, but prayer is a whole lot of work. Okay. And so Gandhi said, you know, in order to get to this place, you must first become the change that you want to see in the world. You must become the change you want to see in the world. And this is where the real work is, because it means doing the work within yourself to establish the inner world you want to see and the outer world. So the more we learn about anti-racism, the more we realize that none of us are truly innocent. And let's face it, we all want to live the prayerful life. That is why we're here. But it's going to take a whole lot more work than we previously realized. And the universe keeps upping the ante, so to speak. First, COVID-19, bam, right? And then racial unrest, bam, right? That was a 1-2 punch, if you understand what I'm saying. And I strongly believe that punch number 3 is just around the corner. And if you're thinking, when do you think punch number 3 will hit? It will hit if we slack off from doing what is ours to do and giving what is ours to give to these two first universal assignments that the universe gave us. And there, listen to what I'm saying. COVID-19 and this whole racial dynamic that's going on is an assignment from the universe. Okay? If we don't do what we're supposed to do with those, I'm sure the next one is coming. Right? So there's a saying, straighten up and fly right. Well, to truly develop a prayer life, we're going to have to grow up and pray right. So in this coming week, begin to observe and analyze the way your ego directs your thoughts, words, and actions. Begin, you know, to question if you're truly justified in reacting to life the way that you do. Or are your reactions based on a pattern recognition system that has become your truth and you didn't even realize it? So in addition, you know, in your prayer experiment with replacing childlike prayers like, "Heavenly Father, I need." Replace them with an adult prayer, which is prayed by the mystics, which is, "Heavenly Father, I know I am one with Thee." And no matter which way you choose to be involved in this social unrest, remember, prayer is the way to every way. Amen. And now we'll have a meditation with Pamela.
So let's gently close our eyes and relax. This is our time to get in touch with Spirit, in gratitude for all that has been done for us and through us. Let's take in 3 deep breaths. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Breathe in once again deeply and out. And notice how this is helping our bodies to become even more relaxed. And now feel yourself being lifted to that secret place of the Most High. This special place of love, peace, joy, and faith. Be prepared now to let go of any baggage, be it emotional, mental, or physical, that is preventing you from becoming open and receptive to God's living Spirit of Truth. This is our time to surrender all. Take another deep breath in. Exhale. And prepare to enter through that door to the secret place. We enter, we sit down in the truth that God is here and only good can come to us. We sit in the silence as we prepare to honor the sacred masculine. We honor the sacred masculine by calling forth 12 holy men from the Bible, each with a particular quality that helped them to effectively serve God. Today we call forth the wisdom of Adam, the willingness of Noah, the faith of Abraham, the power of Elijah, the forgiveness of Job, the love of David, the service of John the Baptist, the strength of Andrew, the imagination of Bartholomew, the loyalty of Judas, the oneness of Jesus, and the overcoming of Paul. We go into the silence now without the sound of my voice, and we take into our consciousness these 12 holy men and all the things that they represent. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for quickening the gifts that each of these 12 holy men have given to us. Each one of us has within ourselves the qualities that are represented in honoring the sacred masculine. We need only to get in touch with them and claim them as our own. And so for all this and all things, we are truly grateful. We give thanks for these blessings in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and remember that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you.
Thank you, hon. As you can see, I couldn't figure out the music.
It's okay.
So, we always had little quirks here and there when we're doing these services. This is the time we do our offering blessing. And again, we want to thank you for all the wonderful blessings offerings you're sending to us. It really is helpful during this time. There's a lot of discussion with churches about, you know, whether or not to come back into a space. And to us, that just seems very dangerous. And even when you're watching the news and hear what some of the scientific people are saying, that, you know, these gatherings and whatnot that are happening are going to just do nothing but, you know, cause this COVID thing to go up. So we're being very cautious about that, and we appreciate your support during the time as we continue to do this, you know, as a streaming and online environment. So let's do our prosperity prayer together.
Offering
blessing, I'm sorry. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. So you're going to do a little bless the path we walk?
Yes. We're going to bless the path that we will walk this week with we're going to bless it with passion, passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. Now let's end with our prayer for protection. Together, the light of God surrounds us.
The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, again, thank you for being part of us today. We appreciate you, and we look forward to seeing you next week. All right.